Hi, and welcome to Is It Dad Rock Yet? I'm Martin, and with me and Steve this week, we've got Maddie from Jar of Blind Flies. Say hi, Maddie.
What's up?
Jar of Blind Flies are a noisy alt-rock band from Brighton here in the UK. They released their debut album, Mia, in 2022, which can be found wherever you listen to music. And here is the lead single from that album, Playground King.
Thank you. Maddie, thanks for joining us. Let's get to know you a little bit better. So I've got a couple of questions.
Yeah.
What's the last thing you listened to that wasn't Deftones? Feel free to open Spotify or whatever you've got streaming or anything like that if you want to double check.
So the last thing that I listened to was Fun by Caius.
I've never heard of that band.
Really? Oh, they're good. They're good.
I'll have to check them out.
I mean, they follow the sort of Deftones theme. They're very sexy. They got like a lot of heavy bass on them.
What was the last thing you listened to, Martin?
The last thing I listened to was System of a Down. I've got a bit of a System of a Down thing at the minute.
I love that.
It was probably Pogo. No, Bounce. Pogo, yeah. Bounce.
I wasn't expecting that from you at all. Don't know why.
What about you, Steve?
I just listened to One Step Closer because the Slam Dunk Festival lineup was just announced tonight. So I listened to One Step Closer because I remember listening to them a couple of years ago and thinking, oh, these are pretty cool. And then they got announced at Slam Dunk and I thought, oh, I'll check them out again, see if they're still cool. And yeah, they're still pretty cool.
Maddie, what was the song or the band that kind of got you into alternative music?
So it's actually kind of embarrassing to admit, but my entrance into alternative music was definitely down the kind of old emo route. So I was a classic like My Chemical Romance sort of girl. Absolutely loved, like, the song Helena was like my absolute anthem. It was the kind of thing that I was like, whoa, like, this has changed my life. And then it got better after that, but definitely the emo stuff is like,
I don't think that's embarrassing.
Yeah, My Chemical Romance is fair enough. I thought it was going to be someone like really bad.
Oh no, it's just like, I don't know, people always shame because they're like, oh yeah, I got into like punk, or I got into like this really cool heavy metal band, and for me I was like, no, emo to death. Even now, I'm not even going to lie.
I don't ever believe those people, because it's like, if you're listening to something heavy and you've not listened to like Linkin Park beforehand, it's probably not true. There's always a gateway, and your gateway was obviously My Chemical Romance. I mean, I was into all that emo stuff when I was younger as well.
First band I ever listened to, Steve, Minor Threat. Oh God, of course it was. Yeah. Black Flag. Yeah, definitely. Definitely one Papa Roach from Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Do you have a favourite band or artist at the minute? So who's in heavy rotation?
I would say, so probably Korn. They're like the band that I put on every single playlist I make. I think they're like the consistent that never drop.
What kind of like era of Korn?
Let me have a look at my playlist and see which ones that I'm doing the most.
I think just while you're doing that, I think for me, and I'm guessing, Steve, you're the same, is like Here to Stay, which I think is Untouchables album. I think that is pretty much
that's where I caught off, end of my Korn.
Yeah. We got drunk once, didn't we, and started watching loads of videos and was like, what are all these songs?
All the Korn videos, yeah.
I wasn't released so many.
So I think See You on the Other Side is the one that I kind of am playing the most.
Reminds me actually about Korn. So, you know, Deftones, they were kind of forever bashing Korn and like Linkin Park and stuff, saying that they weren't, they was always kind of put in with them bands as new metal and the like.
Yeah, it was that Summer Sanitarium tour, wasn't it, with Metallica?
Yeah, and I didn't read the article, but I did see the headline and it was like, Chino was kind of like, oh, I feel a bit bad for bashing them so much.
I'm guessing
he's like, I want to tour with you now or something. I don't know. But I mean, they were young, weren't they, back then? And
well, it's because Metallica was the headliner for this festival. Well, I guess it was like a tour. But everyone else was like, it was Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park and Korn and Deftones. And Deftones were opening. And they were like, we shouldn't be opening. We're much better than these other bands, these other support bands. We
much
should be
sexier
like,
than these other bands. Yeah.
Like, we should be below Metallica. But yeah, I think he's kind of like, I kind of wish I didn't say that because it did kind of hurt our relationships.
Yeah. I mean, we all say stuff when we're kind of in the prime, especially like when you are doing well. I think it does get to your head sometimes and you've got to sort of check yourself. Like, come on, bring yourself down now. Perspective.
So recently, me and Steve went to go see Funeral for a Friend and it was like, was it a 20th anniversary of Casually Dressed? Yeah, 20th anniversary of Casually Dressed and Deep in Conversation. Pretty decent gig. I enjoyed it. Vocals were a bit iffy. Steve, you didn't think the music was could have been as good as it could have been.
I thought they could have been better rehearsed.
Yeah.
I'd say that.
But then that kind of got us thinking on way home. We was like, what other albums would you love to listen to? That's, you know, a band going like, right, we're announcing this tour. We're going to do just a tour of this album, this one album from our back catalogue. I'll ask Steve first and give Maddie a little bit of time to think. But Steve, what album would you choose for a band to do?
First thing that came to mind was The Used, their self-titled album. If I thought about it a bit more, I'd probably choose something else. But yeah, The Used, self-titled, or Thursday's War All the Time.
War all of the time. In the shadow of the New York skyline, we grew up too fast, falling apart like the ashes of American flags. The sun doesn't rise. We'll replace it with an H-bomb explosion.
Nice.
I would go for Rise Against, Siren Songs of the Counterculture, because I just think every song is amazing on the album. Right through the eyes of soul, your hands I can't see to fight. Pollution burns my tongue, confines I can't speak silence. The moon is crowded in, I fall to the surface. Fill my lungs with air, then let it out, I give it all. Now there's a reason why I sing.
For me, I think I would go for Nine Inch Nails' Pretty Hate Machine.
That'd be sick.
I thought you were going to go for a Korn album or something.
No, I think that's my go-to. I'm pretty into them at the moment, but I'm a bit biased because we've got a show coming up where we're doing a cover off that album. So,
oh, nice. What are you doing?
We're doing Head Like a Hole. No, you can't take that away.
Went to go see him, didn't we, Steve? Was it last year?
It was last summer, yeah.
Oh man, how was that?
It was awesome.
It was good. They didn't play as many as the sort of hits as I was hoping.
Yeah.
I had Downward Spiral album when I was younger, and I kind of half into them, but you know, you can't really pass up the opportunity to go see Nine Inch Nails. So
Into them. You have a Nine Inch Nails t-shirt.
I do, but you know, I've drifted away from them, but yeah, I do listen to them quite a lot.
Yeah, it was good. The light show was a killer. Like, if you had epilepsy, I think you wouldn't be able to go to that show. Well,
you'd have died. Epilepsy,
but it was a great show. I was a bit disappointed if I didn't play Closer, but
yeah,
that's pretty much one of the only Nine Inch Nails songs I really know. That and Hurt, and then like a few like Bite the Hand That Feeds.
Yeah.
But they've got such a big catalogue, it's difficult to know where to start, you know what I mean?
Oh, there's so much, and they're so complex, like musically, that it's just, you can't really even put them into any kind of eras, I feel like. It's just, they're just it.
I guess we've got to know a little bit more about you, Maddie, but shall we talk about Jarrah Blind Flies?
Yeah.
Cool. So can you tell us about when the band started and why the band started?
So the band started, I wouldn't be able to pinpoint into a year, but it was when I was in college. So it was not any of the lineup that we've got now. It was myself and my friend who was a drummer. So we started out as a two-piece. And it was really just like, we're in college and you kind of had that angst and that need to do something. We didn't take ourselves very seriously, and musically, like we were pretty awful. But then she ended up going to university, and that's when I brought Marley, our drummer, in. I'd known Marley for ages because we were both in different bands before, but we kind of grew up quite young in the music scene together. And Marley is like very much my musical soulmate. Like, he's the only person who I've really connected with musically and been like, okay, this is something really special. And that's kind of where I think Jarrah Blind Flies really started. And then from then, it's been a long, long journey. We've kind of gone through a lot of different bases, but it's always been me and Marley consistently. Like the whole album is me and Marley. But now we've got Jake, our bassist, and he's just like, he's awesome. Like, he's the coolest guy ever. He's a bit younger than us and he's got all this passion. So I'm really excited kind of where we're at now.
Oh, nice. So you released Mia, your debut album, in October 2022.
Yeah.
Prior to that, you don't have anything that I've seen online, so it was like straight to an album.
Yeah.
What was the thought behind that?
We sat on that album for 3 years, so we always wanted to release as an album because Mia is actually a concept album, so every song on it interlocks into a little story, which one day I'd hope to get out there and actually write properly. But those songs couldn't really stand alone, even though we released it as singles. It needed to be released as a full album, because it was just like it was a whole concept. So it really wasn't the smartest move market wise. And we get told that all the time. Everyone we meet in the industry is like, what are you doing? But I'm glad we did it. Like we really put all of our heart into that, sat on it for 3 years. And we were like, God, we just need to get this out there. And it is what it is. That's just going to be us.
But I think it was a great idea. And I'll tell you why. You've got the one album, like you don't have like, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners on Spotify, but it's one of them things where I've got you guys on a playlist. I've got that entire album. Every time a song comes on, I'm like, oh, what's this? This is cool. I look, I'm like, oh, it's Jarrah Blind Flies. And it comes on quite often, whereas like another band, like Alaya, who we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, they've released an EP. It's absolutely brilliant. It's only four tracks, but it's only four tracks. And you know when you're like, I want more. I want more of this. Whereas with Jarrah Blind Flies, I think it's like you get that album experience, which is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, I'm glad you say that. It's very mixed. Some people think it was awful, but I'm happy with it, you know.
No, I think it's great. What have you got planned for 2024? What have you guys got coming up?
Definitely new music pretty early into the year. We've been really working on kind of progressing ourselves from Mia. So it's a process at the moment where we're really putting our heart into writing. So 2024 is definitely going to be the year of new music. We want a lot more creative content, so music videos, and then we'd die into play festivals. That's what we would really want from that year. Just need to get picked up by the right people, but we're trying.
Yeah, it's awesome. Is it going to be, do you think you're going to go strip it down to EPs or singles, or is it going to be like your sophomore album?
It will be singles this time, yeah. Not a full album, for sure.
Oh, we're looking forward to them.
Thank you.
And I've got one last question for you, Maddie. Are you ready to talk about Deftones?
Yes, I'm ready.
Around the Fur by Deftones from the year 1997, an older one as chosen by this week's guest, Maddie from Jar of Blind Flies. Maddie, why did you choose this album?
This album is a consistent inspiration for all of us collectively as a band, because we all come from very different tastes in music. I think it defines partly what we want our sound to be, but also just their originality. Like, no one really does what Deftones does. Especially coming from Brighton, you meet every other band who are wanting to be like Nirvana, but Deftones are sort of like this untouchable like pedestal that no one can be like, and I kind of love their originality for that.
I suppose it's not the best time to tell you, but I am a massive fan of Deftones. Steve loves them.
I was about to say, do you like this album?
I have tried I've tried to like Deftones about six times. I really want to, because I think they're such a cool band. And I think the Chino's cool. Everyone's cool. I just can't. I like the singles and, you know, like the hits, if you like. They're okay. I like them. But I feel like if you're really into Deftones, listening to an album start to finish is like an experience. It's just unfortunately an experience I don't like. So what about you? So you like them, so don't you?
Yeah, I think this is the best album, Around the Fur. It's one of the best albums. The last time we did an episode on Deftones, we actually got a comment on Facebook. It was brilliant. We got told, you missed the point. You wasted an hour of my life. Thanks.
Brutal. Oh my God.
It was on White Pony. And to be honest, like that's like the album that everyone says is the best, but I just don't agree. I think it's Around the Fur. And a lot of people don't like gore, but that's what got me into Deftones, really. Like gore album. I never really liked them when I was younger. Listen to gore for some reason. I don't even remember why. And I was like, oh, this is sick. And then, yeah, just really got into Deftones since then. So I'm a new fan, an older guy, but a new fan. So that was me waffling on a bit there.
So we've got a bit of a warm-up quiz for you, Maddie. So Chino was noted as number 51 in the top 100 metal, and I say metal loosely because you'll hear the names from the list, vocalist from I think it's a website called Hit Parader in 2004. So I don't think Hit Parader is a thing anymore. I don't know what the criteria was, but on Wikipedia, it said that it was rated number 51 in a top 100 metal list. So, right, with that in mind, we're going to play a game called Higher or Lower. I'll read out the names of people on the list, and you have to tell me if they appeared higher or lower in the list.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, makes sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so, as I say, 51, Chino Marino, he starts there. Next one is Chris Cornell. do you think he appeared higher or lower in the list? Lower being like better, I suppose.
Oh, better. Oh, okay. Higher.
Oh, actually, Chris Cornell was number four.
Number four?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm biased. Damn, that's really good.
I don't know. I agree with you. I don't rate Chris Cornell.
Yeah,
much.
I would agree. In fact, let's all rate them ourselves as we go along as well. So, but also, I suppose, bear in mind, this is, you have to put in a 2004 head on as well. Sort of like, was Chris Cornell incredibly popular at the time?
I mean, let's be fair, Chris Cornell is an incredible vocalist. He's just not my cup of tea.
Next one, Amy Lee, higher or lower?
So lower means that people think they're better, right?
So number one would be the best, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't agree with this, but I'm going to say lower.
Oh, no. She's number 69.
Oh, I'm getting it all wrong.
Yeah, I think that I'd say, yeah, she's... Well, I don't know. I'm not a big Evanescence fan. The one song I know is Bring Me to Life, which...
Yeah, they're not for me.
No.
They're not for me.
No, neither for me.
Supposedly Amy Lee doesn't even like that song. She's like, the label made them do it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's usually the case with the big tracks like that.
I'm pretty certain people will have bought that album and gone, where's the guy? Why is he not singing all the songs? Because he obviously has a big bit in that album. But am I right in saying, like, the rest of the songs, it's just Amy Lee?
Yeah,
isn't
no,
it?
It's just Amy Lee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw a video of Jacoby Shaddix doing the guy part of that song recently at a festival.
Oh, is there any more to that story, Steve? Or is it just
that? Just thought it was fun.
Was it not even going to tell if it was good or bad?
Oh, it was bad, yeah.
Okay, yeah, good. Okay, next one, David Draiman.
And this is based on, like, vocals alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that he was put lower.
You're right, David Draiman was number 42. I personally would have said no. He's not,
yeah, me as well.
Not a touch on Chino, but what do you think, Martin?
David Draiman is God, and I've got a shrine for him. You just can't see out of shot. No, I'm joking. I don't like him. Next one, Ozzy Osbourne.
I'm going to say lower.
Yeah, Ozzy's clearly in the top 10. He's number 8.
Yeah. He deserves a place out there. I'm going to definitely agree on that one.
Next one, Maynard James Keenan. Wouldn't be a Deftones episode if we didn't mention him. And he's from Tool.
Lower.
Yeah, he's number 21. I don't like Tool.
Yeah.
No. Not a massive fan of... I don't know, he's got a good voice though. Like, Passenger is great because of Maynard, I think.
I just never got into it. It's one of those ones that just haven't really gelled.
Yeah, we've all tried. We all want to like Tool, we just can't. No, apparently, none of their fans actually like them. They just try and they just pretend. Rumour has it. So, next one, Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, I'm going to say that he was lower.
No, he wasn't. He was higher. He was
really?
He was number 53.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's because he just talks a load of nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, that does shock me, though, to be honest. Because people really, really love Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, they're definitely like a little cult following band, I feel like. Well, a big cult, but they're ones where people are in love with them.
Like I was saying, you know, a very loose term of metal vocalist. I wouldn't have put Anthony Kiedis as a metal vocalist, but anyway. Next one, Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
Lower.
Yeah, he was number 46. And I would rate him as
me as well.
I would put him as higher as 46, to be fair. I think it's good. I suppose it's vocalist rather than front person as well, I suppose, like, because that's two different things, isn't it? Okay, Jonathan Davis from Korn.
I think he was lower.
Yeah, he was number 16, which isn't surprising, really, is it?
No, he's got a unique voice, so I could definitely see that.
Kurt Cobain?
Oh, he better have been lower.
Yeah, he was number 20.
Okay, yeah.
He's higher.
I'm obviously a Kurt fan till I die, but that kind of comes with being in a grunge band, really, doesn't it?
I wonder if Kurt Cobain would still have that, like, legendary status if he was still around. Like, I wonder if he would have gone the way of, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone who, like Lars Ulrich, people say he's like an amazing drummer, but now if you look at him, he's just a bit of a sloppy mess.
Oh, it definitely takes the like romanticism out of them, whether as you watch them kind of age, I guess. You're like, oh, that's not so cool anymore when you're bouncing around with your grey hair.
Yeah, I think I sent a meme to Steve, didn't I, where it was like, is that Lars Ulrich the best drummer in the world? And James Hetfield says, Lars isn't even the best drummer in Metallica. Was like, oh, fair enough. Harsh, but fair.
That's us with guitar, to be fair. Marley can play guitar about 20 times better than I can, so I feel that one.
And last but not least, Trent Reznor. Is he higher or lower than Kurt Cobain?
What? I thought we were doing Chino.
Oh, I've completely misinterpreted. I've been doing higher or lower as we go along.
Oh, really? That's not what I've been doing.
I've been doing... Yeah, no, I've been doing that wrong then.
I've been doing it compared with Chino.
Oh, well, don't matter. we've had a good chat. Trent Reznor, higher or lower than Chino? I mean, the way you guys did it makes more sense.
Yeah. higher.
No, Trent was lower. He was 25. Number 25 on the list.
Yeah.
You don't really have a criteria, do you? Because, like, well, I wouldn't put Trent down as a metal singer. Also, I'm just looking through the numbers here, Martin. I love the way, like, you've gone for two that are higher in, like, the rank than, or, like...
Well, I'm going to say, how we managed to get to the end of that quiz, both been playing two different quizzes. I don't know, different rules.
That's impressive, anyway. Really.
Looking professionals on this one.
Shall we move on to the real structured... Deftones quiz.
I like that quiz, actually. I really rated that. That was good.
To be fair, Steve made me shorten it down as well. I had about 20 people, so we've shortened it down. We could have been here all night. So we're actually moving on to the actual Deftones quiz. We have got four categories. So you've got general, songs, band members, or lyrics. You can choose a category, and obviously we will ask you a question on that category. So which category would you like, Maddie?
Can I go for general?
General, yes, not a problem. So, Deftones played their first show at the Cattle Club in Sacramento, California. They chose this club because they had seen Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana play there previously. How much did they get paid for their show? Was it A, a bag of weed, B, a crate of beer, C, £200, not dollars, pounds apparently, Steve, or D, nothing, they actually paid $200 to play?
I want to say a crate of beer, but if it's the last one, that's shocking.
Yeah, the answer is actually that they didn't get paid anything. They actually paid $200 to play. And it was mainly because they just wanted to play a show. No one had ever heard of a band. They were still in school. The venue was like a 250 capacity room. And so the venue made them buy 200 tickets for a dollar each. So that they could play. So they sold a few for like $3, but then they just gave most of them away to the friends. So pretty cool, really, on Deftones being like, yeah, let's just pay $200, play a show. Obviously, it worked out for them.
Yeah, that is mad. But when you say it like that, like they just took their friends along and wanted to play, it sounds a lot better than being sort of scammed by a promoter, which is my instant go-to when I think of a band paying to play.
We were in a band when we were younger, me and Martin. And we won.
Knew this story's going to come out.
We won a battle of the bands, and the promoter like came over to us, and he was like, and, like we were like kind of like we weren't young. We were like in our 20s, and this guy came over like the promoter, and he was like, yeah. So next show, like if you can sell a load of tickets, like get your friends to come, get your parents to come, like get a load of people to come. And I just made an offhand comment like, dude, like we're not young kids. Like we're in our 20s. Our parents don't want to come and see us play. Our friends don't care about our band. And then the next day on Facebook, they're like, yeah, we've changed the winner. The actual battle of the bands is, and it was just this other band.
Yeah, so we got screwed.
Oh, no.
To be fair, the other band were really good. We probably deserved it.
Okay, next question, Maddie. Which one would you like? General, songs, band members, or lyrics?
Lyrics.
Name the song from these lyrics. I hate your tattoos. You have weak wrists, but I'll keep you.
Mascara?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct.
Yes.
No interesting fact on this one. We just play a clip of a song.
Hate your
tattoos. You have weak wrists, but I'll keep you. 'Cause there's something about
us. Yeah, next one. General songs, band members or lyrics?
Songs.
Two singles were released from this album, both of which reached the top 50 singles chart in the UK. What were the two singles released from Around the Fur? It's multiple choice, and so we need two of these. So is it A, Rickets, B, My Own Summer, Shove It, C, Lotion, D, Be Quiet and Drive, Far Away?
B.
Yep, My Own Summer.
And I completely missed it. I'm thinking it was Be Quiet and Drive, but I missed the letter before it.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's My Own Summer. And Be Quiet and Drive. And weirdly, both of these songs have title brackets in the title, or for our US listeners, parentheses. And I once heard Chino in an interview saying that he hates obvious song titles, which is why they decided to call My Own Summer My Own Summer. But the label was like, no, you can't do it. You've got to have like an obvious song title, you know, like a rage song where the name of the song is him shouting the chorus. We gotta take the power back! And Chino was like, no, I don't want to do that. But the label sort of turned around and said, well, we need you to do that, because when people call up and ask for your song, they need to know the name of it. They're only going to remember the name if it's easy to remember, which is why Shove It is in brackets. But I don't know why Be Quiet and Drive would have Far Away in brackets, but it must have.
That makes so much sense. I didn't know that, because I was actually wondering that the other day, because like both of them are like probably up there on my favorite songs of the album, and I was like, it's weird that they both have brackets. But
okay, next question. So general songs, band members or lyrics?
I'm gonna go for lyrics again.
ChatGPT says that the lyrics on this album paint a vivid picture of complex human experiences, capturing a mix of vulnerability, rebellion and introspection. The language used is often raw and intense, reflecting a sense of urgency and passion. Out of the following words, which do you think is used the most throughout the album? Is it A, parasite, B, fuck, C, sick?
Sick, I think.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. It's used 24 times across the album, but mainly in Lotion. And parasite is used 14 times, and the word fuck is used 12 times. But the most used word on the album is I, which is used 50 times.
Not as interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say he's sort of singing from his own perspective, isn't he, I suppose?
Yeah.
Right, next one. General songs, band members or lyrics? And you haven't chosen band members yet, so I would...
I know, that's because that's the part of trivia that I'm awful at. Go on, I'll go band members. Go on.
Oh, well, I hope you get this one right now, because I'll feel a bit bad. Steph Carpenter has been ranked within the top 100 guitarists in the world by Guitar World. He's known for his dissonant chords, and now he plays a 9-string guitar. That's too many strings. But why did he start playing guitar in the first place? Was it A, his parents made him learn how to play an instrument, so he chose guitar? B, his older cousin played guitar and he thought it was cool. Or C, he got run over and couldn't go skateboarding, so decided to learn how to play guitar.
B?
Sorry, that is incorrect. It wasn't his older cousin who he thought was cool. He actually got run over, so he couldn't go skateboarding, so he decided to learn how to play guitar.
That is wild. That was when I was like, that one's so wild that they're trying to throw me off on there.
No, yeah, he got run over. He was in a wheelchair, didn't have much to do, so he just picked up a guitar and he started learning how to play like Anthrax and Metallica. There was a rumour going around that he sort of used his payout money to pay for a load of gear for Deftones, but supposedly that's not true. Abe, the drummer, said, yeah, he didn't give us any money. But yeah, why he plays a 9-string guitar, I have no idea. Like, why don't you just get a bass?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Next question. General songs, band members, or we don't have any more lyrics. So, general songs or band members?
General.
True or false? Chino Marino said that the title Around the Fur is not meant to be sexual, although some people see it that way. He said it's a metaphor for people that are pretty on the outside and ugly on the inside.
False.
No, that is actually true. A lot of people assume it means something sexual. I'm not going to describe what comes into my head when I think about it. But he sees it like as fur as being quite glamorous, but around the fur, when you think of like a fur coat, for example, it's like skin, and skin can be ugly. So he said it also feels the same way of like Deftones music. He said it's quite heavy and ugly, but at the same time, it can be quite soothing.
I like that. That's cool.
It's definitely about pubes. Right. Songs or band members? We've only got two categories left. I think this might be our last question as well, Steve. Is that right?
Yep.
I'm going to go for songs on this one then.
The album is dedicated to, is it Dana? Dana? How do you pronounce it, Steve? D-A-N-A.
I would have said Dana. I'm thinking of a guy from Wayne's World. He's called Dana Carvey, so I'd go with Dana.
We'll go with Dana, okay. The album is dedicated to Dana Wells, the stepson of Max Cavalera and friend of Chino Marino. One of the songs on the album was co-written by Max Cavalera and is about the death of Dana Wells. What is the song? Is it A, Head Up, B, Ricketts, or C, MX?
Oh my God, I have no idea on this one.
Would you like to give me a clue?
Yes.
I mean, would you like me to give you a clue?
Yes.
So Max Cavalera is the singer of Soulfly and he sings the band name in the song.
Can you give me the songs again?
Yeah, it's Head Up, Ricketts, or MX.
Ricketts?
Sorry, it's Head Up.
No, I had not. I was guessing on that one completely.
So the chorus is sung by Chino and Max, and Max sings Soul Fly, Fly High, Fly Free, which is obviously about Dana. And when I first heard the song, I was like, why is Max just shouting the name of his band as part of his song? That's a bit weird. Like, it's the one where it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do, Soul Fly, like that. We'll cut that bit out. Yeah, it turns out the song was written and recorded before Soulfly, and then, before Soulfly was a band, sorry. And then that's where the name of Soulfly came from, this song. Oh. I thought that was quite interesting.
That is really interesting. I'm honestly terrible at trivia, but it's been super interesting finding out that kind of stuff.
Shall we do one more question?
Yeah, I'm going to say, we'll do one more question.
Let's see if you can leave on a high.
I'm going to get it wrong again.
Because we're having such a good time, we'll ask one more question. So, Steph Carpenter is known for being a conspiracy theorist with views such as the Earth being flat and that no vaccine has ever worked. What did Chino Marino say about Steph's views? Did he say, Everything Steph says is 100% true, people. Open your eyes. Or is it B? Yeah, he's away with the fairies, but he can still write an awesome riff on his 9-string guitar. Look at that thing. Or does he say C? I'm surprised he's not a meme yet.
B? I've got it wrong, haven't I?
No, yeah, no, the answer is it's C. I'm surprised he's not a meme yet. So, yeah, Chino.
Really?
Yeah, Chino said they've been friends since they were like 10 years old. And like, Steph's not always been some kind of like crazy conspiracy theorist, but he just smokes a lot of weed. And mixing that with the websites and videos that he probably watches, like, just doesn't help.
Oh, yeah, I've got a couple of those people in my life as well.
I was thinking then when I said crazy conspiracy theorist, I thought, God, I hope Maddie's not a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Yeah, and if you don't have any mates that like that, then I'm afraid you're that person. Around the Fur by Deftones from the year 1997, as chosen by our guest today, Jared Blind Flies. An obvious choice, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. And Maddie, thanks a lot for joining us again. I hope you've enjoyed it. You've got one last chance to speak to the listeners. What do you want to tell them?
Thanks for having me. Just that you can find us on your streaming platforms, so Spotify, all of that. And then if you ever want to kind of get in touch with us, just hit us up on Instagram. We're pretty active there. So, yeah.
Awesome. And we will put a link to your socials in both the Spotify episode notes and the episode notes for all the other platforms we use and in Instagram. And again, thanks a lot for joining us and thanks for listening.